The Association of Classical and Christian Schools presents Repairing the Ruins, the 2016 ACCS Annual Conference, copyright 2016. You may make additional copies of this recording for use by your school, but please do not sell any copies of the recording. Learn more about classical Christian education and the ACCS at accsedu.org.
Okay, so we started to send out our results, our reports, and I got an email from my testing coordinator saying that a parent had contacted her, which is what, you know, I do the letters, if you have any questions, contact her, Ms. Gonzalez, she'll give you additional help. A parent contacted her wanting to know how their students compared with the other students in his class. Now, I would tend to say, I would rather show that parent how your student did compared to national norms. What do you think?
Right. And of course, you don't, there's no comparison data that we give.
Right.
We don't have a norm group for the class, and that's probably one of the things. The problem is, as you know, it's small schools. Folks will say, does this work? Then that person must be
exactly.
And that person.
That's why don't we
do that. Right. And so don't do that.
So do the norm group, just how other fifth graders across the, and
right.
The national
yeah.
norm.
Right. And I will show there. You some things
okay.
here that we can use.
Okay.
Maybe that would satisfy.
Yeah.
But
I'm hoping. Actually, it's not brilliant. And the parents great. I just think he would look so much better compared to national norms than to his classmates.
Yeah. Well, as you know, in today's world, testing can have somewhat of a bad word, be aware even some people have opted out of testing as they don't want to send their kids to school because they're going to be tested. So I think the key is to have the right test, to have the right information to share with the parents, and to share it in a way that they will be informed and knowing it is not the only component of their child that we applaud. And I think that's very, very, very important. And we'll talk about that as we go on. Before I start, I'm Rebecca Kraft. I worked at a Christian school in Houston, Texas for longer than I'd like to say, about 34 years. It was time for me to leave, but I wasn't ready to eat bonbons. And so I decided I'd call ERB because we had used ERB resources and I really thought they were great. And so I said, do you happen to need anybody to work? And they said, we do. So they said, how much do you know about ERB? And I said, well, I'm going to take the work. Would you present a webinar for the president, the vice president, the president? So anyway, fortunately, they were satisfied and called me the next day. So I've been with ERB now for 5 years and have totally loved working with all of the wonderful schools in our area. I have Texas, Arkansas, Kansas, Oklahoma, Nebraska, Latin America, and they thought maybe I would for a second. They didn't check out that I was originally from Mississippi. Now I have Tennessee, Kentucky, and which is Mississippi. So basically I have over 300 schools. So I try really, I love to support the schools, and that's generally what I get to do. So, what I want to say first before we turn again, if you do not want to be informed, and if you do not want to use the information to make your school and your curriculum, your instruction, and your students better, do not waste your time or money on that. Because if you do the file and smile, as we call it, you are wasting both of those. That may sound strange coming from someone who's out here promoting testing, but I truly believe it must be promoted correctly. Unfortunately, there's just one of me here, so I can't be at the door, but there are handouts and things back there that you might enjoy having, so please take the card that is a monetary, well, there's a little gift attached to the card. So, please get that information back there so that you will be able to look at the handout. It's additional than what is in the manual that they print. I'm going to the NOM conference, National Association of University Model Schools, in Fort Worth next week, and I just received information. They put everything on a scheduler, and you put it on your iPhone, and they are not handing out a printed brochure. So it's going to be interesting to see how that works. My first, if they have a printed one, hasn't been handed. So you'll have to share your electronic device. So, anyway, I'm so happy to be here, but more than that, I'm happy that you are here. And I do really appreciate David, and he and I have talked several times over this year about what reports are so good for you folks, and so I helped with the revision of information about ERB testing on the website, so I've really enjoyed working with this group over the last 7 years. So as we go, we do want to say, why do we assess? And what should that assessment provide? Because if it's not providing you with something important, as I said, it's not worth it. I like to begin with some essential questions. The big essential is accomplished. Why assess? So then we say, I would like to say that there are several things of why. Why is it does hold us accountable? And if we don't hold ourselves accountable, we have this habit of letting ourselves slip from within. And so I think that we as leaders in school, have the responsibility to be accountable. Now we know that first of all, we are accountable for what we have been given by the Lord to use that for Him. So I would take that for you to assume that as the first level of accountability. But let's look beyond that. There are maybe others to whom they're going to hold us accountable. We are, as we go through our work in associations and in accreditation, we are going to have some method of being held accountable for those. I think, and you probably know, I've served on a lot of accreditation teams over the years, and one of the things we were charged to look at is what is the testing results, but not always just what are the results. What was it? How are you using the results? That's the question that accreditations are asking these. Not just what do you do. So that is why it is so important. Then, of course, you've got a group of men and women on the board who are saying, we have our names on that line to say that this school is providing quality. Is it really? How do I know? Now, I will say this in testing, and I was here when I was an instructor at school. Well, I know that you're a sweet little Christian school, but what about your academics? How many of you get bad at night? Therefore, I truly ended in eighth grade. So I, as middle school principal, was challenged by our head of school. All right, we've got to get those kids into this high school and that high school and that high school. Guess what you've got to do? I've got to show that our kids are ready. And so we would have to, why don't you use the same assessment that those students use? We were not at that time. And why aren't you accredited by some of the accredited? So you've got this need to make certain that you can prove who you are. And that's important. Also, we'll talk about proving who we are, but also being true to who you are. That's important piece as well. So we've got it to those, to the board, to the parents. They are entrusting you with their children. And yes, they should be true partners. And they should get the information from you accurately, truthfully, but not to the detriment of others, and not so that they will be, the testing is everything. If they think you are really having that to be everything that's important about their child. And then to the students, we totally owe the students the best that we can. So accountability is important. But also for direction, what about the curriculum? I'll talk later on, how do I know if my curriculum is on the right track? What curriculum standards should I be looking at? How do I know what standards you are using in there? And do I have access to them? Yes, you do, from DRBCTP. So how does all of that come into being? And that was one of the things. When I went to the old test that I used to the ERBCTP, I found out that there were some areas in that curriculum that were weak. And so then I had some ways to document that and move forward. Another thing is that in this look at curriculum, again being honest, what if you, as a classical Christian school, say, I expect my scores on vocabulary to be strong because I use Latin and I use others, and they are, they're wonderful. But I am not going to put as much time on writing, whatever it might be, until a certain period. I've worked with schools, and they will know that, and that lowers scores in the standardized test for a while are okay. If what? They come up when they're supposed to, right? And that's okay. So be true to yourself. Don't be driven by all the data. You drive the data, but don't let something be a control of it and you be using it. For instruction, I'm not saying you use it to grade the teachers. I'm not saying that. But you can tell all of a sudden, why? Surely we have measurement in our curriculum. Oh, the teacher says, well, we do measurement in November. We test in April. Do you know how many times you need to hear something for it to stick? So we forget that spiraling must be done. And then you say to the math teachers, or you say to the science teachers, okay, you add to the measurement too. You look where else in the, and so you have collaboration within those who will then begin to strengthen your instruction because they'll be working together. And kids, when they hear it from different places, guess what? It sticks, and it means more. They say it's important. I remember hearing, at my school, we developed a character program, and we had several gentlemen and experts on character come in and talk, and one gentleman said that the most important piece in a child's brain for them to reflect the character that you would like for them as parents to reflect is to have the same voice being said by three groups: the home group, the church group, and the school. And he said, then they're going to say, so if a child hears certain things among the various components, whether it's academic or character or what, you better believe it comes together for them. So always remember that on different planes. And And we've got to know that we can find direction for students in instruction and their performance. We can see, and what I like so much about the CTC, and I'll show you later, we have a component of both reasoning and achievement. And therefore, you can look at these together, and it helps you see some things about the child that you're not always able to see just if you're looking at one of those dimensions. Now, marketing can scare me, because if we say we're going to use it for marketing, then we automatically think, what do we want in those stores? Right. Hi, hi, hi. So therefore, you have the tendency to use an assessment in which what did you, all of the kids are the brightest. It's wet Lake Wobegon was on way over there. Everyone was way. So what happens, you know, all of our kids, the mean is 99, whatever. Well, number one, that gives a false picture, because then you think, well, I have to improve, my kids don't have to improve, so I just sit all day, or I just visit, or whatever. And we know that's not true. So, but what I do think you can do is to say, how do you say, in marketing, it's very important to place the achievement in the frame of standardized testing in the framework of what you do at the school. That you do, you really focus on strong academics, and you can support this by using certain standardized testing. But that's not all you do. You raise good kids who can think, and I mean, so you put it in the framework, not as here, and we'll have them at the top of the team, because that's not what would be realistic, and that's not what you would in truth value. So as we move on, we look at then the foundations that you could have, and we've talked about these. I sometimes get excited and I bring in what I'm going to bring in later, earlier. But if you're true to your mission in your curriculum instruction and student performance, you do want to have an assessment that's going to match your curriculum enough. I have heard it said that an assessment should match your curriculum by 80%. You know it can't match it 100% because you have had to write it, right? So you want to say, someone dropped by my table this morning to confirm what standards we used. So as we build our tests, we're looking at national standards for math and for reading and international for reading. For rigorous national standards, not a set curriculum, but standards then that we can build an assessment. But it's unfair to your kids, unfair to your teachers, not to know that it's going to be enough math. But it doesn't have to be a perfect match, if you know that. That's okay. And then the next point, and we'll talk about this more, will there be reports that then can help you make curricular decisions. So if those reports, so you can't make curricular decisions when you're looking only at norms, comparing kids against other kids. You've got to have reports that are compared the results of the students with the standards that they're taking. So we've got to have reports that are going to give us both sides of that to be able to get all of that information. And the instruction, I talked about the spiraling, and that's absolutely important. And we know something else. I went to school one time, and I can believe the head in the division head said, oh, we are low in math. I forgot what it was, I'll be measuring again. That's all I know about math. I don't know very much. I don't know. I figured out something that's easy. But, and I said, well, why does he seem happy about that? He said, we've been saying it to our teachers, and this one teacher refuses to listen to it. I now have proof. And I can say, okay, it's either your instruction or the curriculum, which if you rather repeat, and then they went from there to make some changes. So we know that you can't look at it. Also, if you have more than one class or grade level, you can look in some stores. We have them. How is this class doing and how is this class doing? Now, do they have different children? Absolutely. So it's not, you know, that kind of throw one teacher out. But what you do have, again, is say, if you have a teacher you're not certain is putting forth the same experience for those kids that they should or the right one, then you might have a method of discussion. I also this, as any report, you don't use it as proof. You use it as a beginning discussion. You use it there to begin a conversation. That's with the parent, that's with the teacher, that's with your head, if you're not the head, anywhere. Just remember, I feel that's one of the most important pieces that I probably learned by mistake as I was an administrator. And then, of course, be true to your mission for your student report, your kids. You want them to continue growing. Again, we can't determine that by norming groups because what we're going to have is I may have grown a good bit in, let's say, my ability to walk or whatever if I'm starting a walking program. But you may, if we just go on a marathon or whatever together, you're going to be ahead of me in the norming because you may be stronger. But I might still have improved. So we've got to make sure that we're measuring improvement and that we rejoice with the kids in that and with the parents in that. Because this is the comparison from one child to another that can be very disheartening and very dangerous, in my opinion. Obviously, you can see I have a lot of passion about this and I have a lot of opinions. And so some of you can take those with a grain of salt, but this is what I feel very strongly about. So we'll want those to get the growth. Now, this is something else. As a student, you can say, and you can use an assessment that has one norm, and it's a national norm, and that's going to show you on one level. And that can be that level that you can smile and file, and you can put on the market that we are just the best in the land, and do nothing. Or you can say, okay, that's one population, and in that population, I'm wonderful. I wonder what it is if I'm in a little bit smaller pool, a little bit of those that might be a little bit more inclined to want to learn. What if I'm in that pool? So I can look at the independent norm. What if I would like to see how we are doing in just the ACCS school? We have a norm for you for that too. So you, if you can reflect who you are as a different component in your profile, that is a plus. That is what I would call a value for you. And then in your standards, can you, as I said, be able to compare the standards to other schools that would be using that would be similar to those of yours? So that if you know that you've got some schools around you and other schools that might be strong schools, can you make certain then by the report that you are doing what some of those schools might be? So if you have your norm group and in your standards, and then thinking about that, I have what I think are some goals that you can come together to set. Okay, I'm about to go look for an assessment. I would like to have my assessment. So, one, I would like to have some rigorous standards. I would like it based on certain standards that I know would be strong ones. So, I search for standards. I might go on the website. I might go talk to others. I think networking among your students is the best way. And if you ever have an opportunity serve on accreditation committee, you do whatever you can to go. That is one of the best professional development opportunities ever, because you get to talk and see other schools in action. And the content of the assessment itself. Now again, you don't want the content so rigorous that it's not on a grade level appropriate, but you don't want, you can change little sentences if you are trying to help your kids in reading. You know what can be appropriate. So you want one that is rigorous enough to be, to have strong standards and have the content. And then you have the rigor, as I said, in norming groups. If you don't have the norming groups that are rigorous enough, then that could be a problem. I think what we want to know is that we, as the quality schools that ACCS schools are, want a quality standardized assessment to reflect that. Then I want, if I'm having a new assessment, I want informative results. I want multiple, as I said, multiple norming possibilities. I want to be able to have reports that are going to give me those, and I also want to have reports that are going to tell me how my students are doing according to the standards. What is their mastery of reading explicit information and reading passages at this level? Do they have mastery? Or what does that mastery would they have? Is that available to you? And then you want some longitudinal history. And one of the wonderful things about ours, and I'll show you later on a little bit, is that we have history on our portal that you will be able to see over time. Did and how they improved, how group of the group history and individual student history. Not every report of ours is perfect. I have some things that I would like for them to change, and they keep saying, yes, Rebecca. But every time you try to change something that's already set in a technological form, you know the cost of having that changed and so forth. So it's not always can be done so easy. But I believe that we have more than most schools can use. And I think if you can have that and have choices, it's very important. Another thing you're going to have to consider is the affordability. Now, I put cost and value because we know, and I know from my own experience, that there are things we just can't afford. Whether I want the value there or not, it just is not going to be in the budget. I can live with it when I know it, and you have to at times. But if you have a choice, if you're looking at, well, this is a lot less, and I probably won't need XYZ, and so you go with that, and then you see, have you ever bought something and then there was an add-on and you didn't know there was an add-on? And then if you wanted something else, oh, but that cost you something else. You know, we at my school, we had an all-inclusive tuition. It included the field trips. It included everything because then parents had the opportunity to pay monthly, and they could spread that out. And so the biggest shocker when parents left us and went to school, that it looked like the tuition for high school might not even be any more than eighth grade. Guess what? Pretty soon, here came your this was this, here's the field trip, here's your all the lab fees, here's this, and all of a sudden they could see. So these are things to check out when you're looking at cost. What is included, and let's look at the value as well as just the dollars and cents. What about the manageable? How is it manageable for you? Now, I am aware that most ACCS schools, at least to my knowledge, believe that technology would begin at a later date, not with the younger. And so there are times that you may or may not think testing online would be appropriate. ERB values your opinion, and we will keep paper and pencil, even when we go into a new development, which I'll talk about a little bit later. So don't be afraid that we are going to say, and so-and-so, you're going to all have to be online. That is not where we are heading. We are going to both paper and pencil and online. Now, guess what? It's cheaper online if you have the infrastructure. If you have that already, then you only pay for the scoring online. And paper and pencil, you have to pay for the material, and then a little bit more, not much, but a little bit more for the scoring as well. But that is something, and then the administration, I would say, the paper and pencil, the administration is quite an easy thing. We give all of those wonderful booklets for you. But these are things that I'm suggesting that you would need to do. Now, as I then say we're going to investigate, you've got a network. You ask other schools. You ask those that you really like and appreciate, colleagues, associations, here at ACCS. And then you begin your research. You come to meetings like this. You call and ask for webinars. One of the things that I do for folks that come and say, I want to know more about your CPT. I want to know more about your writing assessment. I want to. All right, good people who need to know this information. Get them together, give me a time, and we'll do a webinar. And I do that because that's the time you can ask that individual question. So if you in this room say, well, yeah, I'm hard, but I'm not certain, and I'm not the final decision maker, go back, get that group together, email me, and let's say, okay, what would that mean? And I'll be glad to set up a webinar and have more conversations. I don't know what is happening on my computer, but every once in a while, this comes up. I'm going to continue working instead of having a reboot. So, now it doesn't want to go forward. So, while I'm working on this, it decided to freeze on me for a minute. Did everyone get a card, the back, or information? If you didn't, I would really like for you to do that. And there's also some other information. Okay, let me just see. Well, it looks like it has frozen for a moment when that came on. Maybe this. Oh, here we go. Okay, so you go back to your foundation consideration and your goal, and you come up with a simplified decision-making grid. I remember how many of you have taken these courses of decision-making models. Some of them take you through so many things that you want to kill yourself before the end. I always liked this one, that one gentleman, in fact, he was from San Antonio, developed it, and it was, I loved it. What is? That's pretty simple to come up with, right? What should be? What's your difference? What do the differences mean to different people? That was something that always, I think, sometimes was left out of decision-making models. Because you've got to know, boy, if the difference is going to be here, I better go and do some relationship building and talking here. What about that budget? I better work with that finance person. All of that. And I added this one. What would the implementation plan be? Because I do feel that we've got to know what that's going to be so we can work backwards to make certain. So I just set this up arbitrarily, and I said, okay, I'm going to say that if I develop this little grid here, I put my current standards right here, and I was looking at assessment A, and I was looking at assessment B, I would then fill out that information accordingly. So, if I was saying, how are the content standards, what was the rigor? And I could say, well, the one I'm using is moderate. And I start looking at other ones, and I think, well, that's pretty challenging. Oh, this one's pretty much the same. So I can go through and do this grid. There's my rigor. There's my affordability. I put here, inexpensive for this one, what we're using. It's expensive, but it is all-inclusive. There won't be, and this one's inexpensive, but it's got its add-ons. So nothing may be as inexpensive as what I'm using, but what I have, which will bring me more value. And then I can go on to what do the differences mean to different people? What would the difference mean to my faculty? Okay? Well, I need to do professional growth. How will that impact? And then also, I think for, I didn't put this in here, but what about the parents too? Well, I did for parents. Then here's my affordability, cost, and value. So I then went back and I did a little bit of how I would put ERB CTT in here. So I believe, as we talk in a minute, that we have challenging standards and challenging content. Not so out of the ballpark challenging that your kids can't do them, but they're going. It's going to be one that matches, I think, your philosophy. Here are our comments that I've made about where we get our standards, and that we do look at depth of knowledge on the types of questions that we have. We don't want, I'll be real honest, I grew up in the time of Bloom taxonomy. So somebody came up with the DOK, and I said, what are you talking about? And so then they said, it's the same thing, but I think there always has to be a new term, right? So the depth of knowledge really would be a Bloom taxonomy, if those are close. Anyway, so think about it. We don't want it all at that base level. We want to know how that can be. What about the norming? I show you what we have here and that report that we're going to have norm-based reports, and we're also going to have mastery of standards reports. Affordability, it's going to be moderately high, but as I said, it's going to have a lot of value in what you have, and it is all inclusive. So once you pay for the package that you get for the reporting, you get everything. You get all of your documents for giving it, all the user's manuals, everything are online. And you can only print what you need. You know, how many times do you get a big manual and you use it all? We don't. So it's a lot easier to carry around if you've only probably 5 pages. And then you've got the cost and then the value, which is important. Then I talked about, yes, will you need probably some professional development? Not much, but you will need to help your faculty understand what it is, and you will have to help your parents on that first time you give those reports. But guess what? That's what your consultant, that's the people over the state, like I, that's what we're here to help you form what that would be. Doesn't mean that we can fly in and do them all because we have too many schools for that. You are capable of that if we give you that support and show you where to go, where to find it, how to present it, and that kind of thing. And so these are the things that I really think are very important, and we're going to take, this is where, now, just I've shown, talked about how you think about an assessment and changing. Now I'm going to try to tell you that the very best, most wonderful, outstanding assessment for you to choose would be the ERB-CTT. But before we go to that, I want to make certain, because there were outside in the chair, there were these little cards. And some of you haven't had an opportunity to fill them out, right? So I'm going to go get some, and I want you to be able to do that. And at least we can go ahead a little bit
We always need, who is it that did the, what is the banners? You know, I always say I need somebody. All right, who did it not yet? So, all right, I would love that. And would you see everyone out? That, that's what I'm going to ask for. I remember you're coming by. I know how you did your email, but I that was my problem. And this, what we're going to do now, this sheet is different than the one that's in the big fat file. Now, I have something else that was really taken from my table a lot, which I'm so excited. And if you got one, I'd like not for you not to get one. And if you don't get one of these, what we'll do is I would like be able to, these are, I have them electronic, so I'm going to save this for the end. But this is some case studies by two schools that you would be familiar with. If you were in Texas, you may be able to be there. One is Regent of Austin and ACCS School, and the other one is the Geneva School of Gurney. And then two other Christian schools. One in Argyle, Texas, called Liberty Christian, and one in Dallas called Trinity Christian Academy. And they talk about their mission, their vision, their journey through changing assessment, and why they chose CPT and what it's been able to do for them. And I thought that you would appreciate these because they are like schools. And so, I have these electronically, so what we could do, if you don't get one, you can look at the star, the card, and I can send these to you. So, do we have all the cards filled out? Okay. Wonderful. I should have brought a lot more help. You overwhelmed me by your attendance. So, as I said, when I sent these, I'll tell you what happened is, I went to get the Starbucks card down. I thought, on my last season, we had gifts, so I didn't get one. I didn't get them there. So I went to the Starbucks down to get a gift card, and guess what? They don't have, it's not really a Starbucks. They didn't have Starbucks gift card. So I had to get one. All right, so your objective, and you don't know which card at all you're getting here, right? So we're going to have you reach and get any one of them. And you read that name.
Kathy Jeffers?
Mm. Oh. All right, what about you? Can you?
Sure.
All right.
My name's Kathy.
Oh. Okay. Sandy Duncan. Well. All right. Here you go. I did see those. I, being from the South, I saw those little things with grits. Yeah, they put them down as fun. So I hope you don't mind that. That is. Oh, wait, this is hard. Alright, so let's talk now about some of these things as they apply straight to the CPT. And please, ask me questions as we go along. And if I know I'm going to cover that in just a short while, I'll say hold that thought, we're going to get to it. If not, I certainly will try to get all of these as we can. So I want to look at the standards. I want to look at the content.
the norms, and the reports. Those are the things I think are the most important. So as we look at the achievement and the reasoning test that we have for grades 1 through 11. Now, you may know that some of you have been using one that has it for K. And this does not start at K. It starts at grade 1. I will be honest with you that our largest, or you may guess, what would you think would be the largest largest number of grade levels that are tested? Did I have that right?
I'm not sure.
Grade 3 through 9. Well, 8 is almost, but 9 some still good because they haven't quite started the PSAT. And they also, if you're a school that takes in kids at ninth grade, sometimes you want to have some staying on and then some coming in. If you give one at ninth grade, you'll want to see where your class is together. So basically, some schools say, you know, levels 1 and 2, they're a little bitty developmentally, you know what? They just change so quickly. One moment they can't read a billboard, and the next minute they're reading billboards you don't want them to read. And so it's just really hard. So I think it's not a bad thing to wait until third grade. So we do have the reasoning that doesn't begin until grade 3. And then we have achievement content areas in more areas than most of the other assessment areas do. And it's not that, because this is what I've been asked. So is it an add-on if we have writing mechanics or whatever? This is the test. Now, yes, if you say, well, I'm not going to test every test and subtest, you still have to pay for it because we don't have a way to break it out. But we have, and for the little babies, for levels 1-2, we'll have audio comprehension, and we'll go through some of those in a moment. But then we'll have 4, from grade 4 on up, we'll have vocabulary, reading comprehension, writing mechanics, and writing process skills. And I'll talk about that a little bit later. And each of those has a set test. You can see where the strengths and weaknesses are in each one of those. We have what we call constructive response in math and English, and that's where math and reading, and that's where the kids are asked to write their solution. Optional. It does cost a little more. And again, I'll be honest, most of you probably don't need that. Why? Because you have the kids doing that kind of bigger stuff all the time, and you know it, and you know how they're doing, and their thought process. So, I would say that's something you probably don't need to have. We do have spring and fall testing, spring and fall norms. Talking with someone about that a little bit ago, that's totally up to you as a school. Where you at? I have my opinion. I know what I as an administrator liked and felt like I could get a handle on the best, but others who like the other one can give the same quality reasons of why they like one or the other. I'm always ready to discuss it, but that is truly what works for you. We have immediate scoring with the CTC Online, but I would say that that's pretty quick with even the paper and pencil. It really is. And they come online, they come to your portal, and you don't have to have large knives and so forth to open the big boxes. Yes?
Can I order for online testing? What if I wanted my junior high online, but 3-4, to do the paper?
Absolutely. The only thing you can't do is mix them within a grade level. But you can, and a lot of schools will choose to do that. They will do. I'm working with a school outside of Houston and they're saying, you know what? We're going to put our fifth grade on up tonight on online because we have a computer lab, we can do it. But we're going to have the others on. And the scale stores. They're on the same scale, therefore you can look at the longitudinal over time, that won't matter. Yes, very good point. Very good point. And one of the things online, again, we can have more conversation about webinars or whatever. You can use Chromebooks, iPads, laptops, or desktops. So, and you can have a mix of those if you have. And you can have kids that bring their own. We put a secure browser. One parent saw this browser on their kid's laptop to get off, so they weren't sure what that child was going to be downloading. And then that's what happened. And mom and dad must have taken that off. But so we had to go, you know, you learn by doing, don't you? Then when you send home, your child is going to be coming home with this.
Right.
But that is a really good thing. So then what we do in spring one through fall three, we've got word analysis for first and second, auditory comprehension, reading comprehension, writing mechanics in second and third. I will say one of the things that's wonderful, if you are doing it for the little kiddies, you can tell if they are understanding but haven't gotten yet to the front, because the exact subtests for auditory comprehension they're the same as reading comprehension, auditory comprehension. So you have explicit information, you have analysis, and you have inference. And so if a child, the inference is, mother is yawning, she must be sleepless, or whatever that's going to be, she may be able to get that. The mother is yawning, she must be. But she might not be able to read those words.
Right.
And so you can say, that child is okay. She's understanding. The vocabulary is good, you think, but she hasn't gotten the decoding yet. That's a very good point, I think, to look in that spirit. And then mathematics, what we have in mathematics is there's so much, as you said, we have to divide up the testing, but it then all comes in the pot together with all of the components of math. However, one of the great things, they first of all, let's say you are, I'll use my measurement again. Let's say that they want to know how many inches in a foot. All right, so that's just knowledge based. And so they will be grading you on your understanding of measurement. But what over here, if you are saying, reading a story or a little word problem about finding the measurement of a classroom, and the child might get it wrong, not because they don't know the inches, but it's because of the problem. So they do an overall look at problem solving, three major components that are bigger than just the factual and that information. You get both of those back. And so you also know as a teacher, and have I been spending enough time on problem solving with my kids? So it's a very good way to look at mathematics in a real depth way. So then we move on up. We come to the verbal and quantitative reasoning. Subtle abstract relationships. And these are the things that are going to be, have you ever looked at the OSAP? As the oldest learning time, they are similar to those kind of things. Okay, similar. But in the verbal reasoning, we have analogical reasoning, we have categorical reasoning, and we have logical reasoning. Now, I believe, I'm from a school, that reasoning comes from two places. It comes from nature, but it also comes from nurture. And therefore, if you have nurtured your child and read to them and talked with them, guess what? They are going to have a better, probably a much better score on their assessment in this reasoning than if you have not. If it's just dependent on the nature. Now, some of it, that comes out of the nature, and that's wonderful. But anyway, this is what's important. It's potentially an indicator of achievement. When we then look at these in a report, which I'll show you, you can say,
this is a possible potential, and this is what they're doing, are we offering them enough? Are they not working enough?
You know, my, what are the next questions? I always say two. Every report I read leads me to another question, leads me to something else. And then these are the components that I mentioned. Vocabulary, reading comprehension, writing mechanics, writing process, concepts and skills. This is a writing piece that the kids read, and then they analyze it by the components of well-written work. Whether it's the sequence, it's in the right sequence, what is given as a topic, main topic, so they can, it's a multiple choice, it's not direct writing, but it really is, it's a wonderful, wonderful look at how kids can then analyze the reading as it pertains to how it would communicate to someone else. So, I'm going to go quick, but this is on the reading comprehension. I mentioned explicit inference analysis. Writing mechanics, we look at all of these together, and then the writing process, organization, purpose, audience, focus, all of those things are right in there together. And this is coming from grade 4 on up. Now, our non-groups. These are the ones that which I've mentioned. We start the national. That national norm is from every type of school, large, small, urban, suburban, high economic, gifted and talented, low socioeconomic, whatever. How did we get our national norm? Because not all of them use the test. No, they don't. When we did CTT4, we went into the highways and byways of the school. And guess what we had to have in our hands? Mm-hmm. A little money. Because they didn't want to spend the time or let their kids do. And so we had to gather to all these schools and pay them to take some of these subtests until we got the number that Educational Testing Service, ETS, said is the appropriate number that can be extracted, or what is that right word, mathematically, that you can take out and then come up with a national norm that would say how, what it would be. And basically, you know that that's how most of these large norms are determined, because they can't, it's not, everybody's not taking the same test. So that's how we got that. And I will tell you, we had it recalibrated in, I think, 2004 or something like that, but I can say it's an old norm. It's a fail norm. That is why in 2018 we will be coming out with a brand new assessment, CTT5. If you come on board, you will be getting a CTT4 refresh, which has some outdated, let's say, it says in there the, it's a piece of technology that is no longer, and they would replace it with what is.
Upgrade?
Pardon?
An upgrade?
Yeah, well, it's that in that way, but they're, because the content is not made different, it's just that they're changing it to be more
current. A flip phone versus an iPhone.
The flip phone. If you then say, oh my goodness, that means I'll have to buy new materials in 2 years. Well, that you would for those non-consumables, unless you said to ERB, I would like to participate in a field testing for your constructive response. Now, the reason we need it for constructive response only is that we have a lot of online testing, and as you know, a lot of field testing is done online where you can put in a couple of different type samples here and there. So we don't need paper and pencil field testing for multiple choice, but we will for constructive response in a math and an English, which would be an hour of each. So you, let's say that you had an online, folks, guess what? If you're online, you're going to get what upgrades without costing a thing, okay? So you would have, so let's say you back there, you wanted to do your younger ones on that. You say, okay, I'll buy the CTT refresh right now. I will field test those, that same number of kids that I bought test for. I'll field test, I think it's going to be spring of 17. You'll get a one for one. You'll get a free CTT 5 for every field tester that you would get to us. Does that make sense? So, that is available. So, that depends on how you, what your budget is, and how you would like to work that out. And as you would, if you decide to come on, and that part of your concern is the cost and how that would work, what you would do is, whichever is your consultant, if you're in the Georgia, Florida, Alabama, some areas, you're with Jason, then there's Philippe, who comes up in Virginia and the area, then I am here, and then there's Beth, and then there's Sarah. So we're sort of spread across. And what you would be working with them and then working that out with them on that, doing that.
Yes. Can I ask you for my sticker page, or should we do that anyway?
That's okay. Go ahead.
Because we're going to take you. We are CPD for consumers. We do CPD for pencil. We do it in the fall. And so I understand you say we will have to replace all our non-consumables
in 2018.
In the fall of 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Unless, as you mentioned, 2017, I forget enough, unless we've never done the extended writing.
The constructive
response. Unless we volunteer to do this constructive or prompt response, then for each student that does that in each grade, we would receive the free material.
Okay, let me go back, because if you stay with the CTP 4 right now, I don't know. It's only those people are going to have to buy something right now. They would have to buy again in 2 years. Those are the ones that have our sympathy. It's not, I don't mean to be not good, but you see what I mean.
I don't know why you're not good. I'm sorry.
But if you are using CTP 4, I would just save my pennies until 2018. And that's what I'm telling all my children. Okay.
So when you say 2018, you really mean
1819? 1819.
Absolutely. 1819. I've been dying to ask you. National standards. We've got the Common Core. I know they said ERVD's not worried about it. Can you please give us the official?
Well, I did is we've done some crosswalk analysis of that, of seeing, the thing was, are you going to develop your scores or your standards on the Common Core? No. We are going to make certain that we still use what we think will be the best standard for everybody. So that's what we're going to use. Now, if you have a Common Core curriculum, should you be 80% okay? What I said that it ought to match, I think you will be fine with an ERB assessment, CTT. I think you would be just great if you don't use the Common Core. We are not trying to run after the Common Core. And that group. And that's just...
So even if it wipes out all other standards, you're saying the ERB would not... You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I kind of got this thing
I don't think it will, but I certainly can make it. But no, we have no intention on that.
So even the new test for 2018?
No, we'll still be using the standards that we use. As they progress, yes.
So the people you have no sympathy for, they have longitudinal studies.
Yeah.
Longitudinal studies. How will the new test impact our
life? We are working on the same scale.
Okay.
It will be fine. Gotcha. I am sorry we're going over. I want to quickly just take this and then would you say, because I do want to show these various norms that you can get will give a wealth of information
and then these are reports. And this is where I want to show you one report. This is one of my favorites because this shows you, as your grade, your mean score interpreted nationally. That's what you're going to want first. If you switch from a test that you've used national norms, that's how it's reported. My mean is so-and-so. So you're going to want to know what your mean is nationally. This can give this quickly for one grade level across the way at every test. You also can compare, how are my children doing? What does this bar look like as it's compared to their verbal reasoning? So, in this one, the verbal reasoning is 87 and the reading is 76. My question is, as I would go further, why is the reading lower than the verbal reasoning? That would be my question that came off of this. Mm-hmm. And then I would say, whatever you do, don't feel that howl about that point of that math program in point, and look at how strong that just works so beautifully. So this is what you can do to look at your reasoning compared to your achievement, and also where you can get the median and mean are not going to be that significantly different. So that's a good one for that. Then we have the administrative summary, which is one page for every test for grade levels. So you have a wealth of information that you can get from this. And this is how you need to help if you talk to different people about the norm groups. And I'll say this, let's scratch out the suburban, and I won't go into why right now. But this is the one that you would use. This is the same group of kids. Look how they perform nationally. They're all way up here, right? You take that same group of kids, a smaller pool, a more competitive pool, and they are spread like a normal bell curve. I always use this type of illustration when I'm doing parent presentations. They get it. It's just that I'm a different competitor. I said, you know, it's like when I put in my college admission application. You probably never heard of this school post. It's now MSCW, Mississippi State College for Women. That application was a very different school than if I had put it in Harvard, right? So this is how it is. A comparison, comparing different schools. Can't get it real quickly when you begin to talk like that. So this is a wonderful report. This is a group history report. 3 years. The mean of the class in looking at verbal reasoning. Matched students. These are the same kids. It also has all students. So you can see how that changes when you lose some of your best, or when you gain some really strong kids. Or when a teacher is sick, when you're out and you say, oh my goodness, our sub wasn't able to keep up, or whatever. Then we can look at, this is where you had, I know you can't see all this, but I wanted you to see how deep this was. And this is every subtest, and this gives the mean mastery of content based on number correct and level of difficulty. And you get a mastery of how the grade level, the mean mastery of the grade on this. You also have an individual instructional summary, which you can get it with a child. That is what, who actually got talking with a parent earlier? Was talking to you. All right, this is how you may say, I don't have norming, but I can show you how your child's mastery looks and we'll do the rest of the class. I don't think, you know, we're doing really well. Your child's doing great in some, and here's some others. So that is one that can be very important. We don't have norms for the little bitties. We have meet, exceed expectations, meet, and developing. And so those are how. This I want to show you. One of my favorites for teachers. This is based on the mastery of the content. This is verbal reasoning. This is analytical, categorical, and logical. This is the grade levels mean, and this is the suburban and independent. This is each child. You have your differentiated groups already worked out when you see those. Because I take them, I draw my red line. And say, oh, these kids are way below the mean of the class, not of us. And these, I better be certain that I am really working with hard to get him more. He's doing great, and he needs to be completely challenged. So this is a wonderful report. The teachers love this. This is the individual instructional summary that I talked about. We have, can you quickly find a way if there are kids that aren't performing as we would think they would with their reading? Yes. This report will show you how those that might be below what we would expect and those that are being higher than what we thought they would be. And then we have this wonderful report. You see how it stacks? That, we have that many reports for individual information. And that's when you are having a conference with a child. You don't have to go and pull out individual reports. You just hit comprehensive individual report. All of these come out. You have everything you want. This is where you have the scale score growth of a child. That is what shows you growth. As I said, you may be going farther than I am, but I still might be growing. And so I want to be able to show that. Scale score is the only way to do that. And then we have those that we can get the parents. And you can have only the national norm. You don't have to have anything else. The scale score and the national norm. That's what most of those who move from another group that maybe you've gotten national, that's what they generally use. So, I'm sorry I ran out of time here. These are some manuals that we have, content standards available. What I'm telling my schools that are going to even get it next spring, say, become a member of ERB as soon as the year, and you can right now if you become a member, if you're a member for the next 2 years. Let's get you signed up. You know you're going to get the CPT. We're going to get you into the portal now. So into the portal now means you would have all of this documentation to start looking at and preparing for what you're going to do. Then you'll have a year to say, okay, it's going to be okay. And then parent guides are there as well. I'll be glad to talk with any of you individually. I'm sorry. I should have been especially excited.
Wow. Where is the norm to the norm group within the ACC? Okay. You're in that norm group, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Just to make sure. Yeah, and I didn't tell right. Now, you know, our norms are 3-year relevant norms.
Okay.
Not the national, but the independent ACS, which means they are progressive, right?
Yes.
And they're based on the past 3 years of everyone in the ERB, or if they're an association or if they're a member of the ERB and independent norm, in that same grade level. So they are very professional, which is very good, I think.
Can I ask
independent as well?
Yes.
Can I ask why you don't just do another set of norms with the CDP4? Do you know what I mean? Instead of changing, just having the schools, the inner cities, and all those things, it again so you can refresh your scores?
Well, we will be doing it, and I'm not quite sure what you're saying now. Why don't we just have to do the CCP4 with them?
Yeah.
Well, there are some, because the test itself is a little stale, as I said, because of the way some of the multiple choice questions are, the kids are not taking it correctly. It was developed and we were taking it wrong. It's just an old test. It's an old test, if I say
yes.
Yeah, right. And they say that one needs to be refreshed. Also, after that long, there are ways that we'll just get in the hands and some folks can't just, there's no temptation to get in hands, but we know that, but sometimes they don't use that way of thinking. And so, you know, we know we can find teachings of that. Because I had two schools call me. I never had that before. They were just amazing. This is just, oh, I can't even see my English teacher. She changed the vocabulary. Oh, my head. She said, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. She said, what am I supposed to do? That's just gone through all of it. I said, okay. Jesus, what can I do? You realize that because of something, if you have a blind teacher or whatever, she's brand new, maybe she didn't come from a place that...
Well, when you come from
public
school?
Yeah, yeah.
So,
anyway, I told them that the vocabulary skills are not going to be valid this year. And so, we realized that because, you know, they say, whatever, it doesn't take you to have a letter, but tell me, and say, something similar that the test got handed out early and put on the fifth desk and they weren't supervised. So, yeah, after a while, I'm sorry, my
favorite. No, I don't know how you do it all day long.
That's
my therapy.
Oh, absolutely.
We do 2, 4, 6, 7, 8, 9. And this year, the upper school principal is been approached by the SAT for the SAT 89.
Huh?
And
the active bias.
I'm sorry?
For the active bias? Is that what's
better
for
my lecture?
That's, yeah. Oh, that's what it is.
And it's way cheap. And I don't know, aside from that, what the benefit would be, but my impression of why we changed to the CTP when we did was because you guys, or the company, or actually is the one that writes the SAT?
No, we do not do that. But it's correlated now. The SAT's changing.
Yes,
and
sir.
It's not necessarily
right.
But I don't know. I had two schools go with the AccessFire. One was using ERB somewhere else. But then they did that. I had two this year said it was a disaster and they're coming back.
You know,
I don't know. They said it was just the whole process that they weren't supported, that they didn't get their report, that they didn't tell them, that the report didn't tell them what they did. And now they're saying one school in San Antonio was looking at AccessFire and us. And so I was, you know, sort of. I didn't know what he was going to show us. And he said the one thing that really disturbed them is the way that their
salesman kept saying, well, you know, in third grade, you're going to be able to marry the next kid at 78 today
Yeah, that's right. Ooh,
yeah.
That is amazing.
It's gone. So the PCP-89, so the stuff that you're measuring, you're not going to get it from that. So all they're doing is practicing the SAT.
Right.
You got to decide how much it's worth a week of testing and all that.
Well, I know. I lost.
Oh, I do have another question.
Yeah.
Right now, we take 5 assessments. We don't do the science. Okay, when we give it to you, we take 5 days. Is there a way to be provided?